12. Luke 5, beginning at verse 12. And it came to pass when he, Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of Christ, of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Father, this morning, as we continue to think upon the dramatic demonstration of God the Son on earth, concerning who he was and is, concerning what he came to do, don't let anybody here miss the point. But draw our hearts and minds this morning into this thrilling account of cleansing. Help us to see how that the thread of the Scripture demands that we call this a cleansing and not a healing. Although certainly it is. More than that, help us to understand in the spiritual realm of the soul how it is that we can speak authoritatively of clean. That we can talk with certainty about how a man, a woman, a teen, a child can be clean before you as a thrice holy God. To that end we pray and we ask for your help. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Modern society is no stranger to contagious disease, even though there have been great advances in medicine. In recent days, I have had to wear rubber gloves and a hospital gown just to make pastoral visits upon members of this flock. Most recently, when I showed up to call on Dave Beestrom, they were out of double X. They were out of X, they were out of L, they were out of M, all they had was S. Yeah. I kind of got into it. But I'm telling you honestly, it's the first time I ever called on somebody with a bib. Nonetheless, you and I have become accustomed to the idea of sanitation and the necessity of protecting ourselves and others from the spread of disease. The sanitary goop is found not only at the nursing home, but at the grocery store these days, as you well know. Nobody thinks that we're being mean when we don the robe or the rubber gloves or we wipe our hands with the sanitary goop. Because we are informed and intelligent people. We know that sickness and disease is spread by contact, by being close to people that are sick and touching them. We understand that being friendly can kill you if you're not careful. And so, in the realm of medicine, we are well accepting of the principles of precaution and prevention, believing and understanding that they are absolutely warranted. In biblical times, the approach towards contagious disease was very severe. Rubber gloves, unavailable. A lot of the idea of what it would take to protect oneself, undeveloped, or to some degree unknown. And so strict rules of separation and quarantine of infected people was absolutely common. In the case of leprosy, which is what we're introduced to here in our text, the individual was required to maintain a 100-foot buffer zone between them and all other people, including family. That would mean that if I were infected with leprosy in that day, that no one else would be allowed in this auditorium, because the space of buffer zone required would cause everybody to be outside of the room if I was in the room as a leper. Furthermore, as many of you have learned in your own study of the scripture, have heard other Bible teachers teach, the leper of the day was required to carry forth this constant verbal warning to others that in fact he possessed leprosy. With each and every step of the leper going in any direction, he would have to cry out with a loud voice, "Leper! I'm a leper! Leper! I'm a leper!" So that people could righteously scatter and get away from him, lest the disease that was eating his body would, of course, somehow become their problem too. In the day, no leper whatsoever was allowed to enter a walled city. If the city had an external protective wall around it, like the wall around the ancient city of Jericho, if the city had a protective wall around it, no leper could go into the city whatsoever. Severe rules relative to contagious disease. Dr. Luke gives us some insight into this particular leper, telling us in verse 12 that he is full of it, full of leprosy. That is, in the Greek language, a medical notation indicating that the poor fellow was in the late stages of this debilitating disease. Now, there were a number of skin infections and eruptions that were classified as leprosy in the day, but most often in Scripture, we're talking about what is known today as HD, or Hansen's disease. Feeling and use, of the extremities is lost with Hansen's disease. You no longer feel your toes, you no longer feel your fingers, and then your hands, and then your arms. You no longer feel your toes, and then your feet, and then your legs. And as you lose the ability to feel things with your extremities, you hurt yourself, you injure yourself. Literally, your flesh begins to die and rot while you continue to live, although it is a terrible way to live. The patient with such a disease looks gross, feels gross, and is cognizant every moment of impending death. Looking gross, feeling gross, conscious every moment of impending death. The leper, in this case of Luke chapter 5, does what no leper would do unless they were hateful and vindictive. What that leper does is sick. What that leper does is unheard of. What are you doing? Why, if that leper in that day had done to you or done to me what that leper did to Jesus, you and I would righteously say, "Get away from me." Because the understandable laws of medicine require gloves, robe, mask, or in the day, buffer zones, lest the disease spread and become your own. But this account has a number of things about it that are amazing, including, of course, the obvious that we all would know. But one of the amazing things about the account is that the leper goes right up to Jesus. And you have to ask yourself the question, what is he doing? Or, why would he do that? He's either a very hateful and vindictive leper with an attitude that says, I don't care who I make sick. Or, he knows something about Jesus. I believe that the poor soul must have concluded before coming to Jesus that somehow the Lord Jesus was above and beyond the contagious disease that riddled his body. The leper comes to Jesus without fear of infecting him, and tells the Lord of his conviction that Jesus possessed the power to help if he wanted to. In fact, the nuance of the text is built upon a third-class condition in the Greek, which indicates the fact that the man had no lacking thought that Christ could heal him, but did not know whether Christ would heal him. And so he says to Jesus, if you have a mind to, you can cleanse me. And by the way, the leper had it right. He didn't say you could heal me. In the day, people understood that leprosy was a particular kind of malady in the flesh for which the law demanded cleansing. The leper apparently had seen or heard some of the accounts of Jesus' authority and ability over demons and disease. He believes that Jesus can help, and he asks the Lord for a cleansing, graciously, I might ask, humbly, I might ask. We'll get to that in a moment. But he approaches the Lord and states before the Lord that he knows that he can take care of his problem. The thread of cleansing runs deep throughout the biblical record in relationship to leprosy. And I believe that it becomes a significantly illustrative thing in relationship to the way that the Lord desires to deal with sin. Now, let me just read you a little something that has something more to say about that. It's from the pen of G. Campbell Morgan. He wrote this about the disease of leprosy as an illustration relative to the Lord's desire to deal with sin. He wrote, "It has been said, and perchance it is true, that nowhere in the Bible is leprosy named as a type of sin. If that be so, it is nonetheless true that the common consciousness of men and women who have believed in God for ages, the Hebrew expositors and theologians, the Christian expositors and theologians, have all seen in leprosy the most revealing symbol in the material of what sin is in the spiritual. It is suggestive that we never read in the New Testament that Christ healed a leper. He cleansed the leper. Leprosy is, on the material level, the most perfect symbol of sin in its insidious beginning, its paralyzing, damning growth until death. End quote. So at minimum, there is, in this additional case of the Lord's authority and ability over disease, a devotional reminder of the devastation of sin and the cleansing possible at the hands of the Lord Jesus. Or to say that otherwise, the sermon kind of works like this. What leprosy does to the body of a few is what sin does to the soul of everybody. One more time. What leprosy does to the body of a few is what sin does to the soul of everybody. And as we study this particular case of the Lord Jesus concerning leprosy, we begin to understand the blessedness of the Lord's authority and ability to deal with our sins. We glean more from this well-documented account by acknowledging the three truths of Christ's action that are found here and the summation of the little storyline, beginning with that Jesus was willing with the willing. Verse 12 is an excellent illustration of how to pray. Verse 12 is an excellent illustration of the steps in righteous prayer. Let me just point it out to you in the 12th verse. Here's this man got a problem full of leprosy. Number one, sees Jesus. Seeing Jesus. First thing he did, he didn't just see Jesus like a casual seeing, like there he is. No, he saw Jesus and he looked unto Jesus. His eyes fastened on Jesus. He's directing himself towards the Lord Jesus, as we know. First step in righteous prayer, get your eyes on the Lord. Second thing, fall down and worship and acknowledge God's greatness. After seeing Jesus, what does he do? Well, he falls down on his face. He puts himself at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He puts himself before the Lord as one who is greatly needy, recognizing the goodness and the greatness of the Lord. He looks to Jesus. He falls down before Jesus. And then he asks, he beseeches him, and I might add humbly, saying, Lord, if thou wilt. He asks humbly. He approaches the Lord humbly. And then, of course, he approaches the Lord confidently. He confirms in the final statement of his approach the ability that he knows resides in the Lord Jesus. He says, Lord, if you want to, I know you can heal, cleanse me. That is a beautiful little pattern of how it is that you and I ought to approach the Lord in regards to prayer. But the plain meaning of that little exchange there in verse 12 indicates to us that the leper did not know what the Lord would do about his request, but had no doubt that the Lord could do it if he wanted to. It is quite amazing when you really think about what's going on here that Jesus didn't scold the man for coming close, as most everyone else would. And reminds me this morning to say to you, as either saint or sinner, if you'll take one step towards the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. It is so good to know that you can stand behind this sacred desk and tell the people that God is willing to cleanse from sin. Oh, but Pastor, I'm a big one. I'm a big sinner. Oh, come ye big sinners to your Lord. No sinner too big for the bigness and the greatness of our God. That's the message we get to preach. Kind of fun, you know. It really is. Second thing. Christ not only was willing with the willing, but he touched the untouchable, verse 13. And he said, he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, I'm willing. Be thou clean. And immediately, says the scripture, the leprosy departed from him. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Bible answer, chicken. You know that, don't you? The Bible said that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and then it describes things that God created. He didn't create any eggs. He created chickens. So the great mystery, the great philosophical mystery, which came first, the chicken or the egg? We've known that for years. We're Bible people. The Bible tells us chickens came first, then the eggs. Did you know that? Some of you act as if you didn't know. So what came first, the touch or the word of cleansing? In the case of the chicken and the egg, we know. We study the Bible. As we study the Bible, we also know which came first, the touch or the word of cleansing. And the answer is, they both came at the same time. The nuance here in the original language is very powerful. It convinces us of the fact that there was a perfect synchronization between the thing that Jesus said and the act of touching the man with leprosy. Now, when it's recorded in the scripture, it's recorded in such a way that you could take it this way. And he touched the man and said, I will be thou clean. So in that case, you would have a chronological order. Touch, and then the word, I will be thou clean. That's not what the text is telling us. What the text is telling us is that this man falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and says, Lord, I know you can cleanse me if you want to. And Jesus said, I want to be clean. The same God who said, let there be light, and there was light, says to this man, I want there to be clean. And there was clean. You got to love that. I personally believe that the finger, the flesh at the tip of the finger of the Lord actually touched a cleansed man. The synchronization that is indicated here is so powerful. The man falls at the feet of Jesus with this humble request, I know you can if you want to. And Jesus says, I want to be clean. Touch. I want to be touch. So that by the time the flesh at the tip of the finger touches the flesh of the leper, immediately he's already cleansed. Bible scholars like that back and say, I wonder what the Lord was thinking when he touched an unclean thing. In light of the law, we're not supposed to be around touching unclean things. Don't the Lord know the law? Hey, listen, you better be careful saying the Lord didn't fulfill the law. The Bible says he fulfilled it all and violated it never. And you are being quite a presumptuous dog of an expositor to accuse your Lord of touching an unclean thing. The Bible is very clear here. The word and the touch are coming in a perfect synchronization. The Lord gets her done the way that is right and perfect because he is right and perfect all the time. And it doesn't take him long either. Third thing, Jesus governed the glory. Jesus bids the man not to tell others of his cleansing until he had fulfilled the demand of the Old Testament law to work with the Jewish priest towards an official declaration of cleansing. If the man would have obeyed the law, the process and ritual would have taken a week. Not a week to be healed, not a week to be cleansed. He's already cleansed. But the process, the ritual to declare officially cleanse would have taken a week. If the man obeyed the law, I would submit to you that the Lord Jesus would have been uniquely glorified before the religious authorities who were already beginning to oppose him. So here's this guy. Everybody knows was a leper. He shows up and calls for a priest. And the priest says, "What does the leper want?" And the leper communicates to others that he no longer has leprosy. And the priest is to go outside of the temple complex to a faraway spot and is to examine the body of the individual who had leprosy to determine whether he still has leprosy or not. That's the job of the priest. And had a priest gone and done that, the priest would have confronted the fact that here's a man clearly that had leprosy that now doesn't. How often did that ever happen in the nation of Israel? According to the record of the Bible, 9 times. 9 lepers in thousands of years of biblical history and record. 9 lepers know something of the Lord's cleansing. Most lepers just die. So it was very, very rare. And for a man to show up that everybody knew was a leper and to show himself to the priest. And I'm telling you that that day when the priest met for coffee break at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm telling you all the priests would have just been wagging their tongues. I had the opportunity today to see a man that we all know was a leper and he didn't have leprosy. You're kidding me. Never heard of such a thing. Why, my great-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grand-grandpa, when he was serving the priesthood, he had a case like that, but it goes all the way back to the days of Elijah. If the man would have obeyed, the Jewish authorities would have had a great testimony of Messiah's presence in their midst. If he would have obeyed the prescribed ritual that was given under the law, the ceremonial law of God, there would have been a beautiful depiction of the saving mission of Jesus Christ in the earth. Here's the problem. The man did not obey. Now, Luke doesn't say that forthrightly, though you could assume it from what he goes on to say. Mark tells us that the man did not obey going to the priest, but rather began to publish his cleansing much. That's why in verse 15 you have Luke saying, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him," Christ, "and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." And that's why verse 16 says, and Jesus then would engage in that pattern that we've already called your attention to, and you'll see it again and again and again through the Gospel of Luke, that he, at periods of time, withdraws from those that are sick and afflicted to get alone, to refresh himself in fellowship with the Father and prayer. The man did not obey. The testimony was not raised officially, though a testimony was raised. And the result was a swelling crowd of needy people seeking the Lord. So much was there an encroachment upon the Lord's personal and private time of refreshment with God that there were times when the Lord just literally had to say, "I'm out of here," and get away in order to refresh himself in the things of the Lord. Now we've covered the 3 major points of my sermon, and some of you are hoping that the sermon is done. Almost. But I want to show you something. Because since it's brought forth in the record of the New Testament, I want to at least show you as we conclude what was that ceremony when a leper was cleansed, what the ceremony, the ritual was to officially declare the leper as clean and welcome once again in the congregation of Israel. And so give me 5 minutes and join me for just a minute of that in Leviticus chapter 14. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Verses 1 to 7 and 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel overrunning with water, overrunning water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce or declare him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Verse 14. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. That is the enactment of this ritual that the priest was to engage in, that took a week long in process, whenever somebody presented themselves before the priest to be checked out as healed of leprosy. Here's the ritual again, in my own words. 2 living birds. The one bird killed, its blood and carcass laid in a pot filled with water. If you've ever killed a bird, you know they have blood, not a lot. By mixing the blood with the water, you get a much higher volume of bloody liquid. Bloody dead bird in a water-filled pot. There it is. Over here, piece of cedar wood, scarlet thread or yarn, hyssop, heavy stalk plant with little feathery kind of finger-like leaves that are very, very handy for wiping liquids on anything or shaking things out that are liquid upon something. You take that wood and you take that thread and you take that live bird, you put the live bird on the stick, wrap them with the thread, take the hunk of a bush, hyssop, stiff stalk, feathery leaves, put it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet and the living bird, bring it over here, dip it in the bloody water in the dead bird's pot. Take it out, go over here to the leper who is cleansed, and shake it on him 7 times. Untie the living bird, take it to an open field, still covered in blood, let it fly to the heavens. And now the priest can stand before the people and say, this guy here, he's clean. The message of Christ is in some great way foreshadowed in those 2 birds. For a creature of an equal kind loses its life. And with the blood of the bird's life lost, there's a dedication. There's a cleansing by water and blood. And then there's a light living bird that lifts its wings to the heavens, bearing the blood before the eyes of God. Some of you that have been around a long while, you see the gospel in that, don't you? And you should. The fussy details of God's ceremonial law can certainly be ill applied and taken too far. But you can be sure of this. The ceremonial law depicts in fussy detail the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ in the death that he died and in the life that he lives. It is on the basis of the blood shed, on the basis of the blood that has come before the eyes of the Almighty, in the living being of Jesus Christ, that I can guarantee you this morning that you can stand before God as absolutely clean. He is able, and this text says, he is willing. That's good news. One more thing. Chapter 14, after the two bird thing goes on with other sacrifices that were done as part of the ritual. And then in the same way in which the priests themselves were dedicated, the leper would be smeared with the blood of sacrifice on the right ear. He would be smeared with the blood of sacrifice on the right thumb. He would be smeared with the blood of sacrifice on the right great toe. Why? So that cleansed individual would understand this truth, that his ear has been dedicated to hear the word of God, that his hand has been dedicated to do the things of God, that his feet have been dedicated to walk in the ways of God. And such is the dedication of every one of you that have named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.